Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Solid.
I will give you the head coaches right now, Joe, that if you go there...
Green Bay's solid, correct?
They are a stable organization basically my entire life.
They won two games with Malik Willis, who I was convinced couldn't play last year.
Yeah, he did.
While Jordan Love was out.
I completely forgot about
that.
I'm
not even sure if Jordan Love's good. I'm not even sure. But I know that the situation is good, and I know he's not going to be a complete dumpster fire, right?
I know he can win playoff games and looks good in the playoffs at times. Jordan Love has done that.
But that's what I'm saying. But if I put Jordan Love on Carolina and Bryce on Green Bay... You get where I'm going.
It's gonna look different. It's gonna look different. We actually asked Baldy about this yesterday, Joe.
Yeah.
I think you did. On teams that fail at developing quarterbacks, it's a two-parter because it was a long response. It's really good. Baldy, on with us yesterday. Talk about that. Oh, can you pop me up, sir?
Display right now.
Hold on. It's all right. 3, 2, 1, and one more time.
We have a lot of lousy organizations, and they're on display right now. What it tells me two things. One, I talked to Dan Jeremiah, who's our, evaluator. And we went back and we read the evaluation of Baker, the evaluation of Sam, some of these guys. The evaluations were right. They got the right guy. The organization stunk. And their ability to build around it with the right coaches, what Jason Light is doing in Tampa. There's a reason why Tom Brady went to Tampa and not to some of these other places that people were rumored to when he left New England. He was going to a place where the GM knew how to, discover talent, and that's what's kind of going on right now in Jacksonville, too. I mean, this new GM there, they've got three rookies on the field on the final drive of the game. You wouldn't know it, but.
So that's the first part of Baldy yesterday.
So I asked myself, these dumpster fire organizations.
There's a lot of them.
Are these bad players? Are these bad circumstances or a combination of both? So I'm just going to ask you a couple. Trevor Lawrence. Before Liam Cohen?
I say bad organization and circumstances.
Okay.
Not bad player. Had flaws, but I wouldn't say he's bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's I'm just...
Yeah,
just,
no, no. Yeah.
Bryce Young, Carolina.
Bad organization.
Okay. How about Caleb Williams with the Bears?
Bad organization.
Okay. Kyler Murray with Arizona.
Yeah, I'd say bad organization. Just the ownership top down, yeah.
Okay. Daniel Jones in New York, when he was with the New York Giants.
Bad organization.
Okay. Baker Mayfield with the Browns.
Bad organization.
Sam Darnold with the Jets.
Bad organization.
Mac Jones with the Patriots.
Ooh, he came into a good spot. He did come into a successful organization that had some down years. But it became a bad organization literally after his first year.
Yes.
Down. Yes.
I would agree. Cam Ward currently on Tennessee.
Oh, this is horrible. Just get rid of it. Who's that coach? Callahan? Just get out of here.
Okay.
I know they just won, but good God.
All right. So I would agree with you. That
and
those
you left
are...
some off there that are still bad. I'd toss Vegas in there, too.
Okay. Oh, but they haven't drafted anybody high. So
they haven't in a long
that's
time.
That's why
You're
I haven't really put them in there. And I'm omitting them.
Right.
Okay. The Houston Texans with CJ Stroud. What do we make of that situation?
I think it's been a good situation. They've won playoff games in his first 2 years. Okay. Now, they are a defense-first team, and they are going to need to protect this guy because he is out there running for his life. And when he makes comments, Joe, that says, I'm no longer... What did he say? He's 23 years old, but he feels like he's like not even in his prime anymore athletically. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, he showed flashes.
Yes.
And I think to be determined.
Yeah, I'm not writing them off.
Nor
yeah, exactly.
But Joe Burrow with Cincinnati.
It's a bad organization, but he has been able, that head coach and him have been able to make some sweet music.
I think his career will be capped if he stays in Cincinnati.
Mm. God, he was so close to winning the Super Bowl.
I know. You can have a singular great year. To sustain over time, you need to have a great organization. You know, I think about the Detroit Lions before they got Dan Campbell, which is crazy because I thought Dan Campbell was a boob when they first hired him.
He was talking about biting kneecaps off.
I know. He was a failure in Miami,
he was. But he was
short-term.
He was interim, so yeah. I didn't really like hold that against him. But to your point, we were all laughing at the guy.
Like Matt Stafford, I think we've now... And look, I didn't think Matt Stafford was the greatest. I thought he was a pat statter.
Stat Padford.
Yeah, however it was said.
I think that's what they called him. Yeah.
But if I can dare it a little Kangle.
Exactly. He's now won me over, right? Now I'm like, you know what? Nah, he was in a bad situation. But yeah. Detroit was that team for how many years?
Oh, forever. My entire
Five
life.
Decades?
Dude, his high watermark was being a playoff one and done-er for three years. That's their high watermark prior to the Jared Goff, Dan Campbell, Ben Johnson era.
What about the Chargers before Harbaugh?
Oh, they couldn't get it right. They were charging. They did make the playoffs. And what happened to that playoff game, Joe, with Brandon Staley? What happened?
If they got destroyed. Well, they got in their second half.
It was one of the worst blown leads ever because it was the Chargers are going to charge her.
If Jim Harbaugh had been given Philip Rivers and Philip Rivers had been given Jim Harbaugh, how different does his career play out?
I think they might win a Super Bowl. Yes.
I think a lot of people agree with you. So I there are so many situations where there's bad organizations that are doing in these guys. Now I get to the kind of like, I don't know. So like the Jets are a mess and have been a mess forever. Zach Wilson, though, I think he just might stink.
Yeah. But I'll say this. I would have much rather had an offensive-minded head coach that knows quarterbacks if I'm in that situation. Going to a defensive-minded guy, it's actually why I give CJ Stroud a lot of credit. Because he is in a defensive-minded kind of organization right now in Houston, and he's still able to overcome that at times. Zach was chosen to be the next savior, and he had a first-time head coach in Robert Saleh, and it's just too much first time for everyone.
I agree.
And that wasn't the right move to go, which is why I was kind of shocked they went defensive again with Aaron Glenn. That's another conversation for another day. But I get what you're saying.
Zach just might not be good.
Exactly. He might not be.
Okay. Tua. I think Tua has been in a kind of all-over-the-place organization, but he just might not be good enough. I think he's solid, but not good enough.
I think that injury, I go back to that college hip injury. But again, what did I just say about Robert Saleh being a defensive guy and first-time head coach? Brian Flores in Miami, Joe.
And Mike
Same
McDaniels,
thing.
First-time Mike, head coach.
There you go.
Justin Fields.
The Bears are just...
He just might not be good enough.
He might not be good enough, too. But the Bears, again...
The Bears suck.
First, what is the theme? What is the theme here? Matt Eberflus.
Yes.
First-time head coach, defensive guy.
Okay. What about Anthony Richardson with the Colts?
Well, they drafted him. And this is an interesting one. And while Anthony Richardson has not proven to be a good quarterback, they drafted him knowing he was a project. Everyone was saying...
Same as Trey Lance.
Yeah, but
he just might
even more
good.
So. But even more so with Anthony Richardson. He was way more of an unfinished product than Trey Lance was.
That's a sentence.
No, it's a fact. The guy didn't win anything in Florida.
Well, they both just might not be good.
Yeah?
I'm allowing for the script to change over time, but now they're just not good
enough. But organizationally... They have not done, ever since Andrew Luck, and even with Andrew Luck, they have done a poor job.
Matt Rivers, trained for Wentz.
Exactly.
They've been these guys. But look what they've done with Daniel Jones.
Yes, and Shane Steichen deserves credit for that. Absolutely.
Agreed. All right, Kenny Pickett going to the Steelers. He just stinks.
Yeah, I'm out on
right?
that. I've like, never, yeah, I don't know.
I think, and not that Pittsburgh is this.
His high watermark is doing that fake juke knee slide thing for when he was a quarterback in Pittsburgh.
I'm just trying to go over all of the different quarterbacks that are around the league right now.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, like Lamar Jackson's a great example. Had Lamar been drafted by the Arizona Cardinals, I'm kind of convinced he wouldn't be close to his great. Not that he is not individually amazing. He is. The Ravens are a great draft developing coaching organization. I mean, and have been forever.
I mean, I know he's not there anymore, but how often during the draft, like first, second round, oh, Ozzie Newsome exactly. Doing it again. Ozzie
well,
Newsome.
Still a part of the organization.
He's a part. Yeah, he's not.
But he's not the main guy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I look at the Mac Jones thing now as I kind of come back to the Niners. We should have saw this coming. Like, not that Brock Purdy would get hurt, but that, like, if Mac was forced to play, he would look good. Because Kyle's good. Kyle's really good at what he does. You know, I know it didn't work with Trey, but, like, everybody else has had career years yeah. or career high-defined moments with Kyle as their coach. We should have saw this coming.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HG1 San Francisco on Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live in the Free Odyssey app, coming live from the Laughing Monk Studios. And I kind of like that. You know, who's the player? It could be even coach, too, that you kind of regret moving off too early.
Let me ask you this one. Jalen Hurts.
Ooh. That's a good one.
I'm going to actually give Howie and Sirianni a ton of credit here. I'm not sure Jalen Hurts works in, like, 20 other places.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that we've gone through all the bad organizations. He's perfect for Philly.
Yes.
I think he'd be good with LaFleur. I think he'd be good with Andy Reid, with Kyle Shanahan to a degree.
His rookie year was with Doug Peterson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, because he came in place of whoever. Yeah.
But I do think he gets elevated by the situation. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. I'm just saying he's the perfect guy for the perfect coach. Like, I'm giving that whole organization credit.
Right.
I don't think he would like, if I threw him on the Panthers, what would Jalen Hurts look like on the Panthers?
Probably closer to Bryce Young. Like, not very good.
Not very good. Yeah. But I think he's a stud. Like, and now, do I think he's one of the top pocket quarterbacks? No, but, like, he's a winner. And I think that, like, you could do a lot worse than Jalen Hurts. I know a lot of people don't like him as a player. But he's in a really good situation. How many quarterbacks would thrive in Philadelphia because of how well-run they are as an organization?
A lot.
Look at their backup. Their backup is one of the most coveted guys in the league.
Who's the backup?
What's his name? Come on. No.
Who's his backup?
They drafted him late, and they don't want to trade him. He's going to be a free agent after this year. Come on, give me the name. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Backup QB. I got it right here. Don't worry.
Tanner McKee.
Thank you, Tanner McKee.
I don't know who that is. I don't. Who's Tanner McKee?
He lightened it up in the preseason.
Oh, that, as we know, that's...
Well, two back-to-back years. They love him. they speak highly of him.
I love this conversation. We're going to continue talking about it on the other side because we're up against it. 888-957-9570.
In Philly, and I put Jalen in Dallas, aren't the results a little different for both guys? And I'm not taking anything away from the individual players. I'm just saying, like, circumstance matters.
You think Jalen Hurts is a made man in Philadelphia?
Yeah, he won a Super Bowl.
Okay.
I do. And he's now had two monster Super Bowl games where you can make the argument he outplayed the quarterback on the other team.
Is Dak Prescott a made man in Dallas?
I don't think so.
Ooh.
Even though I think his status, he's been good for a long, long time. I think Dallas is different. It's like the Yankees. You got to win the ultimate prize.
Don't answer this. This is a tease. But is Brock Purdy, is he a made man here in San Francisco? 888-957-9570. We'll discuss that on the other side. Phil Mo, Mike, I see you. We'll get into it. It's going to be brought to you by...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Moderna. This game we're talking about right now all week leading up to it on Sunday as the 49ers are taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are one of the really good offenses, if not like the best offense I've seen from start to finish this season. That connection with that rookie wide receiver, Egbuka, oh my God. Stop that guy. Yeah, Demo Lenore, it's going to be your toughest test. Not Puka, not Devontae, not, you know, Jack Smith and Jig is pretty good. It's this guy, Egbuka. He is sick, Joe. And what we were talking about before we went to break is an interesting conversation. And Phil Mo will get to you, and all the phone lines are open, 888-957-9570. I asked a question about being a made man and what makes a made man for a sports team, for a franchise, amongst the fan base. I think this is where I'm getting at. And this is how I define a made man within an organization. It's almost like my Hall of Fame test. If I have to think about it, you're probably not a Hall of Famer. If I have to think about it, if you give me a name, if I have to think about being a made man, it means they're probably not. For example, Fred Warner. He's a made man. Like, it's just like, it's not even a question. Just stop. George Kittle. Oh, yeah, please. As a made guy, as I got the vowel at the end of my last name, Spadoni, it matters. Made men, mafioso Mac Dre.
He's an Italian.
If I said Michael Williams, no, it's not a big guy, he's a rookie. Stop. If I say Diamador Lenore, no, not quite.
The standard is the standard.
Good player, not a made guy. You get what I'm going here, Joe, with the made man conversation?
Mm-hmm.
That's my definition of what makes a made guy. If I have to think about it, no. And if I don't have to hesitate to say yes, then yes, he's a made guy. What's your definition of what makes a made man within a professional sports team?
Well, I think it's franchise specific. You know, what makes a made man for the Arizona Cardinals does not make a made man for the Lakers or the Yankees.
Sure. Right?
You know, and so I think the thresholds are different. And I think positions are different. You know, you guys were asking me, like, is Dak a made man? In Dallas? No.
Okay.
You're chasing Roger Staubach and, you know, Troy Aikman.
Conversely, is Jared Goff a made man in Detroit?
Absolutely he is.
And what's his high water mark? An NFC Championship loss.
Yeah, which is the franchise's high water mark over four decades.
Actually,
five decades.
Actually, it would have been Dak Prescott's franchise watermark if he got to the NFC Championship game. Now that I'm thinking about it, continue.
But, like, I think yours is different than mine. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that there are specific things that you can do in the playoffs to make you a made man. And then there are specific things you can do during a regular season to become a made man. And, like, things just don't stick to you the same way. Fred Warner, of course Fred Warner's a made man. There's no doubt about it. You asked me about Brock Purdy, and I think he's, like, right on the cusp. I don't think he has enough of the body of work that some of those other guys. Justin Smith was a made man.
Mm.
Frank Gore was a made man. Patrick Willis was a made man. Joe Staley was a made man. I don't think Trent Williams is a made man.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't start with the Niners.
Okay.
He's been great for a couple of years. I don't think he's been great long enough, and I don't think he has that same cachet.
You just said something that's really interesting. He didn't start his career with the Niners.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of these conversations when you view someone as made. Is if whether or not they started their career.
Steve Young didn't start with the Niners, but he was a made man. Justin Smith did not start his career with the Niners. He was a made man. Those guys, you know, made their most of their careers here. So I think it really is, like, again, mine's a moving target. It's not as specific as yours. I know you want to go to Fillmore, so we can go to Fillmore, and we can kind of discuss this at length a little more.
Phil Moe, of course.
Whatever.
Well, unless he's Fillmore Michael today. Shout out Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. What's up, Fillmo? Speaking of made guys,
I'm going to give you some examples.
But speaking of made guys at the station and made callers, I mean, Fillmo Mike,
yeah.
Without a question. First
one of the made men.
What's up, Fillmo?
What's up, dog?
Hey, what's up? Bedoni, how old are you?
Old enough. 32.
Nah, how old are you, bro?
I'm 32.
Now, I need you to answer this question.
32.
Because you be throwing around the name. You be throwing around future Hall of Famer.
Oh, Steve, all these terms.
No, I'm serious, bro.
Finish.
You need to lay back on that. I'm serious right now.
What?
You need to lay back on that, bro, because you just be throwing out the term. Christian McCaffrey may not even be a Hall of Famer, bro.
I never said he was.
If Frank, I'm just, you always say Christian McCaffrey, if you talk,
I said he's a Hall of Fame talent.
You gotta stop that, bro. On some real talk, you gonna have to stop that, bro. You gonna have to watch more sports. And I hate to sound like the OG,
no,
but I'm just keeping
old.
It real,
you guys
bro.
Are so old.
You can't, okay, I sound old. Okay, that's good. I'm 41. I could do that. I'm an OG now. So listen to me, though. You feel me? You can't call everybody your bro. Listen. You can't call everybody, shout out to Priest. You can't call everybody a future Hall of Famer, bro. You got to watch
wait,
things,
wait,
bro.
I'll let you
count
finish.
Everybody in May. Listen to me.
Hold on. Well, when did I talk about Hall of Famers this morning? I'm confused about where this conversation's going. What is this in regards to?
Your natural tone, you always say, he's a future Hall of Famer. Stop that.
Who did I say that about this
everybody
morning? I'm sorry. What is this?
What's your definition of made man?
Of fame, bro.
What's
like for real, you gotta stop calling everybody that's good for the moment a future Hall of Famer because they're not, bro. Like on some real talk, watch more sports. I love you, dog, and I'm giving you some game. Watch some more sports.
What
right?
is your definition of a made man?
Everybody, listen, bro. I'm trying to talk. You can't give everybody that that.
Yeah, I'm out. I dropped that one. I don't know what we're talking about here. I don't watch enough sports. The fact that I say has the potential to be a Hall of Famer or is one of the best pass rushers or could be does not mean I think everyone's a Hall of Famer. Let's just put that out there right now. Why are we getting so upset about people, you know, that are really good? I think it's the Micah Parsons one we always go back to. Micah Parsons has nothing but success in all pro seasons, basically, since being in the NFL. I said he is on a Hall of Fame trajectory. I never said he was a Hall of Famer. That's okay. I don't think that's a hot take. I think if you were to ask most GMs and people that are a part of the league, they would agree with me. That's not a hot take, people. It's
not
okay.
After 3 or 4 years, they wouldn't. This,
Joe,
it's just, this
oh
not,
my God. Not, no, stop. Hall of Fame trajectory does not mean they're a Hall of Famer right now.
I know, but you don't say it after 3 or 4 years.
Jesus Christ.
You say it after
okay.
six
I'm never
going to
bring up Hall of Fame
years.
Again.
I know,
you guys are so sensitive.
No,
like it's the most sensitive generation I've ever like, seen in my life.
It's called perspective.
No, it's called projection. It's okay to do that in sports. It's okay. People were projecting that Brock Purdy was going to be this really good quarterback for a long time. And I said, pump the brakes. Let's see it for 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line. He's done it for 2 years. Not even. His high watermark has been a year and a half, basically. And then one okay year. Right? I don't know where this Hall of Fame stuff.
I know. I think our thresholds for certain things are just different.
Oh, that's
you know,
fine. I'll be right. That's okay.
I think there's a longevity question, and I think that there's, you know, doing it for a couple of years versus doing it over a long period of time.
I just don't know where this conversation came from this morning. Did I say anything?
Saying Micah Parsons is on a Hall of Fame trajectory is not debatable.
It's not.
I'm sorry. It's
just not debatable.
I think you guys are younger.
He's three-time All-Pro.
Guys, 3 years. I think older people, just hear me out for a second. Older people are like, hey, guys, look, 3 years? Wow, that's pretty good.
Do you know what the word trajectory means? Do you know what the word trajectory means?
Okay.
I mean, he's rising.
Okay.
Doesn't mean he's there yet. Yeah, if his career ended today, for whatever reason, has a knee injury or something, or he has to walk away from the game, yeah, he's not a Hall of Famer.
But I guess where most older people are saying, like, guys, you know how many guys have had great 3-year runs, 4-year runs?
Yeah.
Okay, but we don't start using the HOF words until you get to at least 5 years.
Absolutely. Alden Smith was on a Hall of Fame trajectory, and it didn't work out.
But we didn't
That's okay to say.
I guess where Fillmore's coming in, I'm just trying to defend him, and we can move on.
I don't know why. Like, I don't know.
Well,
like,
no, because I think a lot of older, I hear from a lot of older people, and they're like, hey, look, dude, the younger crowd, all of you guys, I'm talking to all, it's not just anyone
9 years older than, it sounds like you're like 20 or 30 years older than me. I don't know where this. I just don't know where this conversation.
Yeah,
just
I think it's okay to say if someone has Hall of Fame talent or is on a Hall of Fame trajectory, just because they don't get there doesn't change the fact of where we're at right now.
Exactly. It's okay that the season, his career is over, and I have no problem saying he's not a Hall of Famer. That's it. People get upset. I don't know why. Back to made men. I was actually giving Filmo his flowers and saying he's a made guy on station. He's just coming at me. Filmo, I love you. That's okay. That's okay. And yes, it's okay to say Christian McCaffrey is Hall of Fame talent, and he might not be a Hall of Famer. That's totally fine. It's totally fine. But it gets back to what I was talking about with Brock Purdy and being a made guy, Joe. And I think it's interesting that he's kind of on that cusp for you. And I wonder where Niner fans are at 888-957-9570. We're talking about made men within organizations. And I don't know if Brock Purdy's that guy, even though he has that fat contract. You referenced Dak Prescott. He's had a lot of winning and a lot of individual success in Dallas, but they're measured differently. The measurement here in San Francisco is different in what they want. They want Super Bowls. They want to win one. And Brock Purdy has been to a Super Bowl, and it was really fun, and that's the high watermark, and he was an MVP candidate that season. But he had a mediocre year last year. He's had two poor games this year for his standards. And I think I am with you in that I don't think he's a made guy in San Francisco. And I wonder where other Niner fans are at if we pose that question to them, 888-957-9570. Is Brock Purdy a made guy with the San Francisco 49ers right now?
Such a tricky one. He's like right on the cusp of being one. Like, look, if you won the Super Bowl, like, this is so ridiculous, but this is how it works. Had he won the Super Bowl, it's not a question. You become a made man, right? At quarterback for this team. Yep. Breaking that drought and doing what he did. But, like, right now he's closer to, and just in terms of, like, where he's at in his trajectory and everything, like, he's closer to Kaepernick than he is Steve Young or Joe Montana. And that's not his fault. He's only played a couple years.
I'd agree with that.
He's only played a couple years, and he had a year and a half, 2 years of unbelievable play. And the last year and a half hasn't been as good. And so, like, to me, he's just on the cusp of being one of those made men. Now, you referenced Christian McCaffrey. I think Christian McCaffrey's in kind of a unique category because he had such an amazing individual year. Plus, he did it at Stanford here. Plus, he was good in Carolina before he got here. And when he put up the numbers that he put up, it was almost like, you know, he's so freaking good. So, and look, maybe people disagree with me. You know, like, I don't have him in the Frank Gore category in terms of legacy with the Niners. Well, I could argue that an individual year that was better than the Frank Gore.
Yeah. No, you could.
Right?
Absolutely.
And I love Frank Gore means more to me than what he would to most. And so, like, man, it's really tough. Like, for some people, younger fans, I bet they throw Trent Williams in that made man category. For me, he's not. I have perspective, and I like, this is where, again, I'm not trying to go down that path again, but, like, I understand the legacy of being a 49er. And, you know, where Harris Barton stacks up, or Bob St. Clair, or Steve Wallace, or Guy McIntyre, Joe Staley, it's different than Trent Williams. Trent Williams is awesome.
Yeah.
But I view him more in, like, the only been really great for the last couple of years with the Niners, and I'm not taking anything away. Amazing.
Been here 5 years.
It's just different.
Been here 5 years, three-time first-team All-Pro.
Yeah, I'd say two or three of them have been great.
Okay. Well, three of them, because he was first-team All-Pro three times, right? Like, those are great individuals. He was voted as the best at his position.
I'm just telling you how he hits me as a Niner fan.
Okay. No, you know, I'm not, like, I'm just telling,
like,
you.
And then I look at, like, the Giants, right? Yeah. Who I think Logan Webb is better than, and I'm just going to start throwing, like, Jason Schmidt. Was his any individual year better than Jason? Probably not. But I got Logan Webb in a made man category for the San Francisco Giants, right? He kind of occupies a unique space.
Giants are a fun one because I don't know how many currently are made men within that organization.
I mean, I think he's really the only one.
He might be.
Raffy, though, is a made man in Major League Baseball.
Yes.
But I don't know if he's necessarily a made man after a half of the season with San Francisco Giants fans.
Evan is in Campbell, wants to join in this conversation. You, like, can too. 888-957-9570.
Jeff Kent was a made man in baseball and might not have been a made man with Giants fans.
Absolutely.
Which is an insane sentence.
It'd be like that sometimes, though.
Kevin Durant, made man in the NBA. Not sure for a segment of the Warrior fans, he was a made man for Warrior fans, which is absurd.
Two finals MVPs, multiple-time champion, but still not a made man.
I would say he is a made man in the Warriors.
I agree with that.
But to your point, Shasky, there are people out there who probably wouldn't, and I agree, that is insane.
Like, Richard Sherman was a made man with the Seattle Seahawks, not a made man. Even though he had an all-pro season with
the
Niners, not a made man there.
You know, and so, like, I go back to franchise-specific, position-specific. I think it changes. You know, what makes a made man for the L.A. Lakers? That threshold is a little different than what makes a made man for the Phoenix Suns.
Well, you just do Hennessy ads and do the decision, too, and that makes you a made guy everywhere. Evans and Campbell. Hey, Evan, Is Brock Purdy a made guy on the San Francisco 49ers?
I don't think anybody is a made man on the San Francisco 49ers, especially at quarterback position. I mean, look where we've been through. From Jimmy Garoppolo all the way up to Brock Purdy. I mean, no one's been a made guy. Sure, we gave Jimmy Garoppolo 5-year, $135 million, but we put him on the practice field because we didn't want him to practice with us at one point. And I just got to say, if you got Mac Jones for 2 years, $7 million, like, you could do what they did with Brock Purdy. Have him on a cheap contract, bring in all these shiny new toys, put it around him, and then let's see what happens. But at the end of the day, yes, Brock, I love Brock Purdy. I want him to be the guy so much because I've been yearning for a franchise quarterback for more than 3 years at a place and to get some stability. And if Brock Purdy's that guy and if he can make it happen, then by all means, go do it. But that turf toe injury is no joke. I mean, there's been podcasts saying that Deion Sanders wasn't the same player after that turf toe. And for a quarterback, it all starts from the leg up, and that's all I got to say.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because I do think it could fluctuate over time because he's talking about I wanted someone for over 3 years. I thought Debo was a made man until he wasn't.
Until he wasn't.
And then he got his wings clipped.
Right. I disagree when he said he doesn't think there's anyone on the Niners that's currently made. I do think Fred Warner.
Fred and George are a very unique space. Like I think they are unquestionably
That might be the only two. I left it non-player. I said, like, person within an organization. Because you could say, is Kyle Shanahan a made guy?
No. No. And because he's good. Joe, you're always going to be good. I don't even know if George Seifert was a made man for Niner fans for a long period of time. I won 2 Super Bowls.
Wow. 2. He's been to 2. And Kyle Shanahan, we're waxing poetically about the guy now. Kyle's 3.0.
I'm just saying, Joe, this is what makes Niner fandom is not logical.
Okay?
Like, you guys are looking for logic in something with this fan base that does not exist. We look back at Jeff Garcia, we're like, yep, made man. Jeff Garcia got after every game. He'll never be Joe. He'll never be Steve.
Who's closer to being made, in your opinion, Shanahan or Brock?
Shanahan.
Okay.
His resume is significantly more comprehensive, and he's done it with a variety of different people than Brock Purdy. I do believe Brock, like Jimmy, like Kaepernick, like Garcia, they just fall just so short. Like, if he put together another monster year where he's in the MVP running or whatever, I think we'd probably be calling him a made man.
Can you even be a made man as a coach if you haven't won a championship? Honest question.
I think Shanahan
Campbell is.
Yeah, Dan Campbell's a made guy, but their expectations are different in Detroit. So to your point, in San Francisco, when the expectations winning the Super Bowl, not just getting the participation trophy, you know, being second place, it's different. And the fact that he's done it not once but twice really sticks with the fan base right now as the guy that can't get it done, can't win the big one.
Here's the reverse. I'm not sure Sirianni's a made man in Philly. I'm not sure.
No, because Doug Peterson, we just have the evidence right there.
Exactly.
2 years removed from winning a Super Bowl. Bye. See you later.
So,
deuces.
I go back to, I think it's location, franchise, team specific. I think they all have different algorithms. Gerard Mayo was like a beloved Patriot, and they got rid of him in seconds.
Well, yeah, we have Mike Vrabel out there. Another more beloved Patriot. Mike Vrabel, come on down. They're 3-2,
by the way. I don't know. Like, it's... I really do think, like, I look at the Warriors right now. Draymond and Steph are made men. I think Kerr's a made man, but I'm sure there's a segment of Warrior fans. You're laughing. I am sure there is a segment of Warrior fans that's like, Steve Kerr's not a made man. He's a moron.
4 championships.
That's what I'm saying.
4.
We're crazy.
So spoiled.
Fandom is crazy.
Oh, my God. Is Ryan Warsawski a made guy? No, like come on. Like
I don't think
come
Jimmy,
on.
I don't think Jimmy Butler's a made man.
No. He's been here for a cup of coffee, big face.
NBA wise, yes. I don't think here he is. No, he may be treated by the organization like a made man because of his resume.
Well, they paid him like one. Like, that's another part of this. What you get paid kind of matters to a fan base. Is the organization signaling to you that they feel like this is a made guy. Like Brock Purdy's making $200+ million. They're paying him like a made guy.
The money means nothing to fans when it comes to made. Barry Zito was paid the largest contract in the history of baseball and at the time and ready to run him out of town.
I know. Baseball
the money is only an aspect of
it. No, for sure, but it's kind of how the organization views him because the organization has told us time in and time out, whether it's Shanahan, whether it's Jed York, whether it's John Lynch, they said Brock is quote unquote our guy. They've said that multiple times. So he's a made guy to them, obviously, but to the fan base, 888-957-9570 is the number.
The made man thing is just, it's very interesting to me because it's more of like a feel than it is like a certain criteria. You know, like for example, Madison Bumgarner, made man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, kidding me?
Right?
Kidding me?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go down this road with the Giants because I think the Giants are funny because when guys do stuff and you win a championship, you become a made man with a lesser resume.
Hunter Pence.
Oh, 100% made man. I'll go as low as I can go in terms of the champions. Cody Ross.
Yes.
He is.
Do no wrong.
He just is.
Edgar Renteria.
Yeah. And it was a horrible contract. Just a horrible contract. But they won.
But they won, so it didn't matter. Baseball's the funny one for sure. Because there's just those Travis Ishikawa. Exactly.
Look, now, on the Warrior list, Iggy and Sean Livingston.
Yep.
And they're both obviously have had different levels of contributions. Zaza Pachulia.
Oh, Zaza Pachulia. Yeah. Yep.
Right?
Nothing easy.
You know, I could go down the Warrior list for a variety. Like, I think for a lot of Warrior fans, Jay Rich was a made man, and he wasn't here long enough. But we hold him in high regard for what he means to the organization.
Jordan Poole?
Not a made man.
Nope, never. I'm actually low-key.
And had Jordan Poole come around a decade earlier before Curry, we'd be looking at him completely different.
By the way, Warriors taking on the Blazers tonight preseason, and call me an idiot, a sucker, and it's October 8th, so I have some time to retract this. Kind of excited to watch Jordan Poole and Zion Williamson on the Pelicans this year. Skinny Zion? I don't know. Just saying.
Looney.
And Kevon. The great
Kevon Looney a made man?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
In my opinion, he is.
He's going to get his jersey retired. He'll get his jersey retired.
But I think he occupies a great space in this conversation. Not only does he have longevity, not only does he have the championships, but there's a humility of accepting your role that makes you almost elevated within the endearment factor of the fan base.
The ultimate glue guy,
100%.
Right?
100%.
Speaking of made men.
It's not like for like, but he would be the equivalent of an offensive lineman on those Niner Glory Days teams, or a Tom Raftman. Like, just a
Jesse Sapolu.
Nobody has a negative thing to say about you.
Jesse Sapolu kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Or kind of like a Jeremy Affelt or Javi Lopez. Like, those bullpen arms, you love those guys.
And they're gamers when it matters most. And they have moments.
Those are made men, right? And
absolutely,
it's just so unique. And again, like I said, I'm not sure Jeff Kent was a made man for Giants fans, which is an insane sentence.
And Niner fans, we're asking whether or not you feel Brock Purdy is a made guy on this organization right now. He's taken the team to the Super Bowl, is now under contract, $200+ million to this guy. Larry and SF, Dave and Fresno, we'll get to you in a second.
And this is a tricky one.
Yeah.
Ask me the question you just asked me in the head. Ask me the question.
Shasky, is LeBron a made man with the Lakers?
Absolutely not. Because the Kobeites and the Magic fans have this high threshold. Dude, they saw Kareem for the bulk of his career, all right? They saw Kobe's entirety. They saw Magic's entirety. They saw James Worthy's entirety. Those are Lakers.
Shaq.
Derek Fisher and Pau Gasol.
I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, I say you didn't say Shaq, too, I think.
Shaq as well. Yeah. Thank you. I didn't hear you in there. But Shaq occupies a unique space.
Yeah.
Shaq was in Orlando, chose to go to the Lakers during the quote-unquote lean years, made them a champion, and then left. I think his made man status has fluctuated over time. Now, 100% made man in Lakerland. But there was a point in time, people were like, Kobe, Shaq's a dummy. And
after they made up, after Kobe retired, then it became okay, and they were boys again.
I think Kent is very close to the Shaq algorithm of his made man status has been all over the map.
Speaking of made men here, and we're going to get to calls in a second, Lorenzo Neal and Evan Giddings definitely made men here at 95.7 The Game. And the kickoff show is this Sunday, and it starts at 11 a.m. And if you're looking somewhere to watch the games this weekend, head to Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale. The Gold Rush girls going to be there for a meet and greet, take photos, and signing autographs. The next home game is Sunday night, October 19th. Lo and Evan will be live from Laughing Monk starting at 3 o'clock. You can sign up for the free shuttle to and from the stadium right now. First come, first serve. Go to 957thegame.com. Go to the Eventbrite page on the website. Sign up now, Joe.
So I've seen multiple guys get their made man status clipped.
Who?
Pablo Sandoval was made man. Then he got clipped.
But he got it back,
then he got it back.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Aubrey Huff was a made man. People forget it. He was a made man. Then he got his wings clipped. And he ain't never been back since.
Hey, he was on the show once upon a time.
I feel like Brian Wilson is kind of going through a similar rehab that Pablo's been going through. He was a made man. Then he got his wings clipped. Now, so much time has gone on, I think we're willing to accept him.
Does he have a podcast, Brian Wilson? I feel like he should have a podcast.
No, he actually had a band, and that was the Beach Boys.
Oh, okay.
It's a different Brian Wilson.
It's a 2.5.
That's a one right there. Larry in San Francisco.
Hey, Larry.
What's up? You're on the morning roast.
What's up, Joe? What's up? What's up, Spadoni? How you guys doing, man? I got to tell you something about the made man status. You can be made man with the organization, you know, but like I look at somebody like Mike Tomlin. He's a made man by the organization. But, man, most of the fans are tired of Tomlin.
Yeah.
They're like, man, this guy just, you know. I look at stuff like Brock Purdy. Man, all Brock Purdy has done is win, you know. And every time I love a quarterback in the 49ers, because it takes me a minute to love them after the whole saga after Jeff Garcia. So as soon as I start to love Colin Kaepernick, people ban him. As soon as I start to love Alex Smith, they discard him. As soon as I start to love Jimmy G, everybody tells me what a failure he is. As soon as I start to love Brock Purdy, they say, oh, Mac Jones is 10 times better. And I'm like, come on. Let's just enjoy the moment, man. Because right now we're 4-1. That might not be so in four more games. Let's just accept it what it is. Man, we are in such a lucky position. Because if Brock Purdy does get well, if Mac Jones is good, as good as people think he is, then we're in good shape, man, because people are starting to come back. You know, Joe, I've been wanting to call in this football season, but it's been hard on me. I got to tell you guys, man, I'm so excited for this year, man.
Let's
go. Super Bowl is going to be in Santa Clara. Dude, if we by chance get there, oh, my God, what a thing that will be, wouldn't it? It'll be like Stanford days, right?
Right.
Joe, it'll be like the Stanford Super Bowl, correct?
Yes, 1984.
Yeah, Larry and SF, hey, we're hoping for it. Be great for business.
January,
we would love
85.
That. Let's go. I know. That was
Larry's right. It would be pretty cool if the Niners were the Super Bowl in Santa Clara. Oh, I agree with that take.
Yeah, Bad Bunny would be there too. It'd be great. I'm sure Nick Bosa will be out there partying with him. Dave is in Fresno, wants to join the conversation. What's up, Dave?
What's up, Dave?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, boys. As it pertains to Brock Purdy and his status with the team, I look at it kind of like a credit score. You know, I think in 2023, his credit score was pretty high, and it's dipped a little bit, you know. And right now, if you look around the league, I would say Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, they have a perfect credit score where they can take their credit score anywhere and be good. Look at Justin Herbert. The first three games, they were 3-0. It was all good. His credit score was great. They lost two in a row. Now, you know, not so good. So with Brock, it's like his credit score is kind of going down. Mac Jones is going up a little bit. Is Brock, like, is he just going to get denied everywhere? No. Like, he's earned some good credit, so I'm not going to kick him to the curb. But let's, you know, it's week to week in the NFL. Nobody is cemented who's currently playing. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're look at Kirk Cousins. His credit with the Falcons was through the roof. After a few games, they benched him. So it's
I disagree with that one, Dave. I don't think Kirk Cousins ever had the credit build with the Atlanta Falcons.
No, but it had what you had referenced earlier, which was the money attached to him.
Correct. That's different, though. I don't think within that fan base, they don't really give a damn about Kirk Cousins. They didn't. I think they wanted Michael Penix.
Well, they wanted
immediately
to believe in him, and then they went sour. But he's right about the credit thing. So it's funny. I have a saying that I do to all the kids I coach. I go, look, life's about credits and demerits, right? And the more credits you build up, the more demerits I'm willing to overlook. And, you know, you're balancing out the scales here, right? So as you earn more credit, I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt or no benefit of the doubt if you're in the demerit mode. Mm. It's interesting he's talking about that because I immediately thought, you know, as he's talking about Brock Purdy, like there was a point in time every Niner fan, for the most part, thought Colin Kaepernick was going to the Hall of Fame. Not that he was just going to be good, that he was going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Joe, Ron Jaworski was on ESPN.
I know he said he'd be the greatest player
and
ever.
I truly believe that Colin Kaepernick could be the best quarterback ever.
And
that
so
was a
what,
quote.
Like, as you guys talk about, and I know, I don't want to like rehash, just let me say this. I know you guys think 3 years, 4 years, whatever, but if you've been watching sports long enough, right, I'm just being real here. You can roll your eyes all you want. You see guys collapse out of nowhere and have their career not even come close to what you thought it was going to be. And I go to Colin Kaepernick and I continue to point to him because I think for a lot of 49er fans, we were convinced not only was he good, he was great. And he did play great football. And for a variety of reasons, a lot of them that we discussed an hour ago regarding organizational failure and his own shortcomings as a player in terms of hard work and putting in all of the extra stuff and the instability of coaching and the personnel around him, it just collapsed. It collapsed. When you watch the highlights against the Green Bay Packers, where they put up 45 points in the final playoff game against Aaron Rodgers, he threw for 275 and ran for 200. If Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen did that in a playoff game, we would be going, this is the greatest quarterback performance I've ever seen in my life. He was down 17-3 in Atlanta in the NFC Championship game and threw them from behind and won that game. He was unbelievable. And so, you know, all those games happened. Then the next year, everybody was hurt. Crabtree was out. Vernon Davis was out. Frank Gore wasn't as good. He had concussions and things like that.
Started being grumpy with the media.
You know, they went into the playoffs. He won like 12 games. They didn't get the number one seed because they had a face mask penalty down in New Orleans. And it just got progressively worse over time. Jimmy Garoppolo, kind of the same thing. So I do believe like a lot of this stuff when we talk about Brock Purdy, I think a lot of Niner fans that have been watching this team for a couple decades, it's like, God, is this going to happen again? This guy hits the ground. He looks like old world.
That's where fans are at right,
right?
now. Yeah,
he
they're
looks
frustrated.
Old world, and they're on these, not trajectory, but they're on this like wow, like, we're, can it get any better?
We're close.
This guy's amazing. Yeah. This guy's amazing. And then for a variety of reasons, personnel, injuries, coaching, you know, the guy himself gets hurt. Like, Kaepernick hurt his shoulder. He literally hurt his shoulder, and then he hurt his foot. So he wasn't as mobile. His arm wasn't as good. You know, I watched Alex hurt his shoulder. Jimmy hurt his foot, hurt his shoulder. Now you got Purdy hurt his shoulder last year.
Trey Lance in between that. Yep.
Exactly. He hurt his foot this year. It's like, are we? Is this deja vu? Is this happening again?
And now your backup has been dealing with a PCL injury in Mac Jones.
So I do understand, like, when people get defensive on Purdy, I get that point.
Yeah.
And then when people on the other side are just kind of like cautiously like, ah, is it really this good? I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, I get that point, too. I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm like, hey, look, man, he was playing great. I don't know why he didn't play as good last year. I'm not running him over, but, like, yeah, he wasn't as good. And I get some of the reasons why. And then this year, like, dude, it was one game at the beginning. It looked like a preseason game. Came back. He looked compromised. I don't know what to make of it. I don't want to run him out of town. I'm not ready to say that he's a made man. I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. I'm just, like, assessing these games. I'm also not ready to crown Mac Jones.
No.
I just think that, like, Niner fans go crazy with the quarterback position, Joe, and it's just... It's like, and this is where, like, I know you guys roll your eyes at me. I talked to my grandfather, who literally watched this position get dissected going back to Y.A. Tittle and John Brody. It's happened every decade for 70 years. We go crazy at the quarterback position. We don't have one guy for 15 straight years. We don't.
That's why fans are exhausted.
Like, even during the Joe Montana era, we've actually misremembered how it went down. Bill Walsh, like, doubted Montana at multiple turns when it came to their relationship. And Bill was only there for three of the Super Bowls.
It's something else. When we
I
talk
know,
about
it sounds
team.
Insane. You no, hear me do this every
no,
week.
No, no,
I go crazy. I get it.
I'm very well tapped in. My dad is from the Bay Area. I've grown up watching Bay Area teams, the history of it, all of it. I've watched all the NFL films. I watched all the documentaries. I am well versed in it. I didn't live in it, but I've watched it, and I've done my learning. Even though Filmo Mike wants to say I don't watch enough sports. Filmo, I do. I got the quad box. Okay. I love you. We have Tony Dungy coming up in about 8 minutes, Joe. And I wonder if you would ask, you know, Tampa Bay Bucks fans at one point about Tony Dungy. They would say, because they were so close with that team.
That was
so
their,
close.
Like, first good team.
Right? Like, he was that guy.
That team destroyed the Niners and hurt Young and Steve Young. I remember that was their coming out party. And Steve Young. And it was like, oh my God, this is one of the best defenses I've ever seen in my life.
And you could probably say at one point he was a made guy with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Not a doubt in my mind.
And then what happened?
They couldn't get over the hump.
And John Gruden comes in. They trade for him. Tony goes to the Indianapolis Colts. But John Gruden, he's the guy that got the first laugh. And the Tampa Bay Bucks got that first laugh because he got that championship. They beat his former team in the Raiders, obviously, in San Diego. And the rest was history.
Gruden
and Tony
was a made man, not only nationally. Now I'm thinking about it.
Right.
Nationally, locally, for multiple organizations. And like, it's all gone away.
It's all, no, if he had just stayed in the booth on Monday Night Football, he was going to be viewed as the guy. If he ever came back, hey, all these other teams would love to have him. How many times?
He would have been the John Madden of his era.
He would have been.
In that sense.
Yes.
And revered, I guess is the way I would put it.
And had the one Super Bowl and had a lot of success at a young age. And just like, you know what? I'm getting burnt out. I don't need this. We can move on. And it's interesting. I kind of view Sean McVay like that a little bit. If he wanted to leave right now.
I agree with
and
that.
And go into the booth.
I agree.
He would have the pick of the litter if at any point he wanted
he
to leave.
He would be Gruden. You're right.
He would be Gruden. He would be. And Tony Dungy doing a hell of a job for NBC for all these years now. He's going to be joining us in 6 minutes, courtesy of River Islands. But before that, Carter.
Gruden just, like Russell Wilson, has anyone lost more?
Oh, God.
Like the back half of their careers?
He's begging for the Arkansas job now, right? Is that what's happening? He's begging.
Or is Urban Meyer on line one?
Bill Belichick. Just pulled the doc from him. Yikes. Injury report.
Bill.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern
Bill.
California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
I know we got the injury report. I still revere Bill. It's hard to see what's going on right now.
It's tough. It's
how
bad.
Is history going to remember him?
Well, they'll remember these last few years like, oh my God, it was horrible. But they'll remember him still as one of, if not the best coach. Him and Brady, the best tandem ever.
Is Al Davis more remembered by the final years? Because to me, I look at the body of work. And the last couple of years do not represent Al's full body of work.
No, I think he's more remembered
the younger guys
as being like a guy that hated the NFL and like the powers that be and being a maverick.
Yeah.
I think that's how he's viewed in the totality.
Okay.
And I think they're making the movie about him. Christian Bale's going to be playing him. I think that could go a long way in how we view Al Davis as well. By the way, after missing Thursday's game against the Rams, Ricky Pearsall was not participating in practice on Monday for the Niners. Ricky is still dealing with a PCL strain he suffered against the Jags in Week 4. He is listed as questionable for this weekend's matchup against the Bucs. Today's injury report for the Niners is going to be very telling, Joe, with some of these players the next few days. The injury report
practicing.
Exactly. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Kersen, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. It's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. The Hall of Famer, Super Bowl winning head coach, does work for NBC. Tony Dungy, next on The Roast.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.